From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. Last week we asked you to call in with your questions about issues, policies, people, or events relating to the September 11th attack on the United States. We've listened to all the questions and selected a few to answer today and tomorrow on this program. And to help us do that, we're joined by NPR reporters Ted Clark and Barbara Bradley here in Washington and Mike Schuster in Los Angeles. We will start right away with a question.
Hi, my name is Tom Brady. I'm a public school teacher in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One of the questions that students are asking, and I'm asking too, is why is America such an evil place that deserves the kind of tragedy that was perpetrated on us on the 11th of September?
Ted Clark, that's a familiar question. Usually it's put, why do they hate us so much?
The first thing I would say is that it's too broad to say they hate us. The hatred that was shown by the hijackers is shared by only a tiny minority of people in the Middle East. Most people there were appalled by it, according to analysts and people I've spoken to from there. But that said, there is anti-American sentiment in the Arab world and growing anti-American sentiment. And the reasons for that are quite complex. 50 years ago, the United States was very popular in the Middle East because the U.S. stood up against British and French colonialism. But since then, the Cold War has come along, and American forces in the Gulf were slowly built up. And with the Gulf War against Iraq in 1990 and 91, U.S. forces were actually based on Saudi soil. Now, that was anathema to many Muslims because Saudi soil is regarded as sacred because so many Islamic holy sites are based there. After the Gulf War, the United States strongly backed sanctions against Iraq, sanctions that caused tremendous suffering among the Iraqi people, thousands of deaths according to UN estimates. That caused resentment against the United States to grow in the Arab world because these were Arab brothers who were dying. And then bombing. The United States has continued to bomb Iraqi communications and anti-aircraft installations over the years, and civilians sometimes die in those attacks as well. So all of that has contributed to the strong and growing anti-Americanism in the region.
Thanks, Ted. The next question is from John Campbell in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I'm curious to know what has caused such a fundamental shift in the composite of these terrorists in the actual Al-Qaeda organization. Typically, the profile of these terrorists has been somebody who is lower down on the socioeconomic ladder. And of the recent attacks, we see people that are highly educated and even worse, have families. So what has elevated the recruitment to bring these individuals into the terrorist organization? Thank you very much.
It's a good question. Let's put it to Mike Schuster, who's been following the investigation.
Well, first off, I have to say, Noah, that in fact, it looks like some of the 19 hijackers probably fit the earlier profile. Many of them are in their 20s and may have come from areas of Saudi Arabia that are poorer and more isolated and where life is much more traditional and Islamic. It's fairly clear that there were some older, more middle class, better educated and more highly skilled people who were among the 19 hijackers. And I don't think that federal investigators or terrorism experts have an easy answer for this. They're, in fact, quite shocked that 19 men could have been plotting this this operation for more than a year, had many contacts with one another, and kept the secret all that time, and kept the discipline that allowed them to hijack four airliners and commit suicide while crashing into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. So I think for many investigators of terrorism and many terrorism experts, this attack in a way rewrites the profile of who hijackers are, what they're capable of, and what they might do in the future.
Thanks, Mike. The next question is one of the most asked on our phone mail.
My name is Kathy Doig. I'm from Mason, Michigan. I would really like to know what the evidence is that Osama bin Laden and this broader group of terrorists are the perpetrators. What is the evidence that we should accept that would send us into a war?
And let's go back to Mike Schuster for that.
Well, in fact, the links of the hijackers to Osama bin Laden, at least according to information made public by the FBI and the Department of Justice are only possible and somewhat vague at this point. Federal investigators believe that a couple of the hijackers were known to a man named Nabil al-Marab, who another man who has been accused of a terrorist conspiracy in Jordan identified as a connection to Osama bin Laden. The truth is, right now, the case has not been made to the world or to the United States, the American public, about just what those links are. I would add that at the time of the Millennium Bomb Plot, which was discovered in December of 1999 and uncovered a ring of Algerians who were bringing explosives into the United States, and ultimately their target was Los Angeles International Airport, federal investigators at that time also speculated publicly that they were connected to Osama bin Laden. There was no evidence. But after the trial of one, Ahmed Rassam, earlier this year, he turned and is now cooperating with federal investigators and has told them a great deal about how he and others were trained in Afghanistan at bin Laden's terrorist camps and then sent to the United States to attack targets.
The next question is about the process of the investigation.
Hi, this is Karen Byrne. I live in San Diego. I have a question about the way we will be treating the people that are arrested as they go and search for the people related to the ones that did the actual bombing. Since we've said this is a war, and they're kind of calling it a war, do we treat them as prisoners of war, or are they criminals? And what is the difference in the rights that those people have under the two different codes? Thank you very much.
This question's very much in the news this week. Barbara Bradley?
Well, whether they're treated as terrorists or conspirators will all depend on what the government finds out about them. Right now, we don't know that anyone the government has taken into custody, with the possible exception of one person, knew about the attacks. So in that case, they would be treated as ordinary criminals or illegal immigrants. The people who have been detained by the INS, about more than 100 people, these people can be detained for a, quote, reasonable amount of time, whatever a judge believes is reasonable, which in this case could be indefinite. Then there's the category of material witnesses, people who may have information. They can be held as long as is necessary to find out everything that the prosecutors and the investigators need to find out. Finally, we've got other people who've been arrested by the FBI and police for minor violations. They can be kept until a judge lets them out on bail or until they go through the legal process, a trial.
Thanks. We have one more question. It's our final one. We had several calls from people asking about the voice and data recorders that were on the hijacked planes. How many of those indeed have been recovered, and what's the process now with that information?
None of the black boxes at the World Trade Center have been found. At the Pentagon, the voice recorder is unusable, and the data recorder, which says things like how fast the plane was going, that has been damaged, apparently. As to the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, both of the recorders are being analyzed. Reports are that the voice recorder picked up a struggle on board. The government is still translating and transcribing the conversations. They won't confirm that that's true. And then on the data recorder, the plane was apparently traveling at more than 450 miles an hour. We got that kind of information. The government also won't confirm that, but that's the report.
Thanks to you all.
You're welcome.
NPR reporters Barbara Bradley, Mike Schuster, and Ted Clark will answer more questions tomorrow, dealing mainly with U.S. efforts to assemble a coalition and how to improve domestic security.